In May of 1993, an Irish team reached the summit of Mount Everest for the first time, a landmark achievement that was years in the making. In this report, Ian Kennelly talks to Frank Nugent, a member of that 1993 team. Frank reflects on the expedition and its enduring legacy. And along the way, he recalls another Irishman, a figure from an earlier time, whose journey helped to shape his own.
Here's some of the gear I have. These are two snow shovels, which we use on the expedition. They're very lightweight, but if you have to remove, you have to dig snow, they would be very important.
That's mountaineer and historian Frank Nugent in his Dublin home, showing me items from the 1993 Irish expedition to Mount Everest, items that will soon find their way to a new home in Belvedere House near Mullingar. That expedition resulted in the first ever ascent of the mountain by an Irish person, team leader Dawson Stelfox from Belfast. Frank was the expedition's deputy leader.
The ice we got our ice axes. We thought it sounded like a great idea to have these lightweight titanium ice axes. These are Swiss made. But when we had to dig out a ledge for our tent, we discovered they were absolutely useless because they were so light, they just hopped off the rock-hard ice.
They'd take your eye out.
They were bouncing back up and nearly hitting us, you know.
In recent months, Frank and Dawson have been working to preserve and share the legacy of that cross-border expedition in 1993. It was an expedition which had its origins during the mid-1980s when Josh Slynam, a renowned figure in Irish mountaineering, sought permission for an Irish team to enter Tibet. That country had been invaded and annexed by China during the 1950s, but three decades later, the Chinese government was opening its society and economy to the wider world, raising the possibility that international mountaineers would gain access to Tibet. Frank explains the role played by Slynam in making that happen.
Josh Slynam was the founding member of the Irish Mountaineering Club, and in the course of his work as a representative for Irish mountaineering, he got himself on the committee of the Union of International Mountaineering Organisations, and he found himself in a position that he was on a committee that met with the custodians, I suppose, of permissions to climb into Himalaya. And as it happened, the Chinese Mountaineering Association of China, they came to one of the meetings and they opened up Tibet for the first time. So Joss took the opportunity and got a permission for Ireland to have an expedition to climb Changsi, which is the mountain north of Everest. It's a mountain on the Tibetan side of Everest.
The 1987 expedition to Changsi, of which Frank was a member, would prove vital to the subsequent success of the Everest expedition in 1993. Although ultimately the Irish expedition was not able to reach the summit of Changsi, they learned much about the practicalities and difficulties of climbing at such extreme altitude. They also climbed in an area called the North Col, a sharp-edged pass carved by glaciers in the ridge connecting Changsi to Mount Everest. Frank describes the region, to which he would return in 1993.
The topography of Everest, it's got the South Col and the North. Most people know the South Col from Edmund Hillary's 1953 expedition. They will have climbed from the Nepali side up to the ice, great ice field, and up onto, and their final camp would have been on the South Col. But if you're climbing it from Tibet, then the next mountain, there's a col which is commonly called the North Col, or the Changla in Chinese. The Changla is the call between Everest and Changsi, and Changsi means North Peak, so the North Peak of Everest.
In preparing for Changsi and later Everest, Frank and his colleagues also consulted old expedition records, and they were amazed to discover a long-standing Irish link to that area of the world, in the form of Charles Howard Bury, who was raised in Charleville Castle near Tullamore before later becoming owner of Belvedere House. Howard Bury led the first official expedition to Mount Everest in 1921 as part of a British effort to find a route to the summit of the mountain, a mountain known to Tibetans among other names as Choma Lungma. Among his team was George Lee Mallory, whose death on the mountain 3 years later ensured his place amongst the pantheon of mountaineering legends. For Frank, that first expedition in 1921 served both as an inspiration and as a guide.
On the very first expedition, we discovered it was led by Charles Howard Bury from Belvedere House in Mullingar. And of course, when I started reading about him, I was fascinated that here we had this Irish guy had actually led the very first expedition that ever explored. And of course, the reconnaissance that they conducted and the map that they produced was absolutely first class. So I became really interested in the whole thing then. If you're climbing Everest from the Tibetan side, the route that was selected by Howard Bury back in 1921 and George Lee Mallory, who was his climbing leader, was to climb onto the North Col and from the North Col, the Northeast Ridge, and then follow the ridge to the summit of Everest from the Tibetan side. So that's the common northern route, they call it, or the Mallory Ridge, it's now called.
The Changsi expedition of 1987 and the 1991 expedition to Manaslu in Nepal were accompanied by great fundraising and publicity drives, all designed to support an expedition to Everest. When the Irish team finally reached Tibet in 1993, it was made up of 8 climbers along with Nepalese Sherpas, cooks, doctors, camp managers, a film crew, a reporter and an interpreter. Although Everest base camp was reached in the first days of April 1993, it was the 27th of May amid a brief period of good weather before the team was ready to make their ascent. They agreed that Dawson and Frank would make the first attempt, and Frank recalls their final push for the summit.
Well, when we reached the first step, you know, we still had about 250 metres in vertical height, but we had about a kilometre in distance to go, and we had to climb up over the second step, which is really the tricky piece of climbing on that ridge. I had discovered that my oxygen was out and I couldn't understand what was happening to it. I was getting no benefit out of the oxygen and I was definitely slowing Dawson down. So I suggested that he was still on his first bottle of oxygen, that he should go and get to the summit for us all, because I was only going to be slowing him up and holding him up. So he went, and when he came to the second step, he discovered a ladder. There was a ladder in place which had been there since the 60s, when the Chinese first climbed Everest by this route. And he got up that ladder and made his way to the summit. And yeah, it was a terrific solo ascent from there on his own. Had to keep himself calm and, you know, well disciplined, and got himself up there for about, I think it was about 5:30 in the evening. And he called up camp and said that, told him that he was on top.
The altimeter is reading 84 metres. I'm sitting on the summit of the world. Over.
After Dawson and Frank, two other members of the team, Robbie Fenlon and Tony Burke, made for the summit, but they were driven back by what Frank says was a very heavy snow. In Ireland, meanwhile, the print and broadcast media in both the Republic and Northern Ireland cheered the news that Stelfox had reached the summit. The cross-border nature of the expedition was, Frank says, integral to its success and to the general goodwill that greeted their exploits in Tibet.
Mountaineering is an all-Ireland sport. At the time when we climbed Everest, the Mountaineering Council of Ireland was an all-Ireland body. In fact, it was perfectly natural for us to put together an all-Ireland team. But we did go out of our way to make sure that we were well represented from both sides of the border.
In the years after 1993, many more Irish climbers have reached the summit of Mount Everest, with Dr. Claire O'Leary becoming the first Irish woman to do so in 2004. Those climbers have added chapters to a story that goes all the way back to that first expedition in 1921, and that Irish link is of particular importance to Frank, as he and his colleagues prepare to donate the remaining artefacts from their pioneering expedition.
The Irish Everest story started with Howard Bury and his mapping of Everest and its approaches. And then it continued with us in 93 with our successful ascent. So we sort of feel that the linkage of those two stories is a wonderful Irish history story, and it should be told in tandem, you know. So Howard Bury's home, particularly when it's in public ownership, it would appear to make a very fine place for to house. And we have some wonderful artefacts from our expedition. And we're not getting any younger, and we feel we really would like to bequeath them.
And that was Frank Nugent ending that report from Ian Kennelly on the legacy of the 1993 Irish expedition to Mount Everest, and also exploring those links to another expedition over 70 years earlier, led by Charles Howard Bury of Belvedere House near Mullingar.